Let's take our Bible tonight and spend some time in the Word of God. Make your way, if you would, please, to Psalm 140. Psalm 140 will be our text this evening as I get to speak to you this final Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And I want to take Psalm 140, take verses 12 and 13 as a text and then kind of build a setting with the rest of the chapter. Psalm 140, verse number 12, David is writing here. And David says at the end of this chapter, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give, what class? Thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. I want to take these two verses and do a study tonight with you on the subject and the title of this. One day you will say thank you. One day you will say thank you. I have found myself on the receiving end of that statement, and I found myself before on the giving end of that statement. I have heard it as a child. I have said it as a parent. One day, you'll thank me. Most of the time, as a child, that was not a pleasant day when I heard that. As a parent, I find myself saying, like my dad did to me, one day, you will thank me. I know that usually in that phrase in our lives, it's kind of an aggressive phrase sometimes. I don't want it to be that aggressive tonight. I want the title to be encouraging to you tonight. I believe in the scope of the title of the message is a wonderful description of the verses that David is giving to us. One day, you will say thank you. So, there's a timing in that. There is the immediate day, and then there is the future day. In the course of the context of the verse tonight, you have the immediate day of affliction. David knows that day, but he's also writing about a future day of Thanksgiving. And with the Thanksgiving holiday upon us, I wanted to give this message tonight. And really and truthfully, I'm targeting one mindset, and the Lord will spread that out over everybody's heart and everybody's mind. But I'm kind of targeting the person tonight that finds themselves in the day of affliction. And the day of affliction is so testing and difficult and aggressive that it consumes everything about me, but it also dims my vision. If I could put it into vernacular for you, you don't really feel like Thanksgiving right now. The last thing you want to do is be thankful. The last thing you feel like doing is giving Thanksgiving. Right now, you don't have time to be thankful. Right now, you're consumed in a different mindset, in a different day. And you're finding that this Thanksgiving Day is moving quickly. You're finding the season to be moving quickly, but you just are at unrest in your heart and in your mind. And I want to encourage you tonight in that day of affliction. David was a man who was very acquainted with affliction, whether it be self-inflicted affliction by his behavior, whether it be persecution from the outside. When you come to Psalm 140, there is a general truth to affliction that the psalm is going to give us. But there's also a specific affliction that David is facing in his life. This is what amazes me as a pastor and a preacher and a Bible teacher. Sometimes I will come to a very specific part of the Bible or specific need or specific challenge. And when I get ready to explain to you David's specific affliction, it's wonderful to me to find understanding and agreement with folks that are out there. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when you come to church sometimes and you're dealing with a problem and the message is about your problem. And then when people leave, if it's a man, he'll say, "Did my wife call you?" I get that. Man, I get that all the time. All the time. "Did my wife call you?" Very rarely do I get, "Did my husband call you?" You think about that and you'll understand that. So David has a problem. He's got a person in his life that's bothering him. Maybe you're here tonight and you've just got somebody at work and they are bothering you to death. You've got a neighbor that is just pure evil. You've got somebody in an association, somebody in a group. Some person is just giving you grief. It's like their whole purpose in life is out to get you right now. Just kind of think about that. And if that's you tonight in that specific affliction, I just want to let you know that God knows about your problem. Aren't you glad God knows about our problems? Listen to what David says about this specific affliction, then I'll give you the general purpose of that. He begins in verse number 1. "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man." So this guy's actually almost violent in his behavior and his approach to David. Verse number 2, he says, "which imagines or plans mischiefs in their heart." I mean, it's like they're imagining and planning and working continually against me. "Continually are they gathered together for war." So he's got one evil person who's got some cronies now, and it's almost like a full-on attack. Watch how he describes their weapons of their attack. Verse number 3. "They have sharpened their," what? "Their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." That might be you. You got just this evil person in your life, and it's like you are the theme of their life. They've got this plan, and they're speaking words against you that carry with it the venom of a snake. Wow. Verse number 3, David ends that verse with the word Selah, which means pause and think about it. "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man." And you remember what I said earlier about it seemed like you're their purpose. Their purpose in life is to bother you. Here's what David said. "Who have purpose to overthrow my goings." He says they've purposed to cause me to fall, to stumble. They're attacking me to destroy me. Maybe you have somebody in your life like that tonight. "The proud have hid a snare for me." They've set a trap. "Cords. They have spread a net by the wayside, and they have set gins or snares for me." I would say these are pretty aggressive people. I don't know that I've ever had anybody that evil in my life. Maybe you have. David's got a problem here. And he's got this problem, and it's afflicting him. And to the point where all the only way he can describe it is as evil, and he looks at it as a war against him. He's worried for his very life. David finds himself in the middle of this affliction, and he's going through it. And he sums up this chapter, and understanding this affliction is so important, because David is letting us know that, yes, there is a day of affliction, but I also know that there's going to be a day of thanksgiving. And he's not going to let this affliction rob him from his thanksgiving spirit. He's not going to let this affliction consume him, nor is he going to let it destroy him. And so David has learned how to survive affliction and how to survive an evil individual. Most of the time, it's an evil individual that we just can't take. I mean, it's just oppressive to us. It dominates us. It controls us. It affects every area of our lives. And as that type of affliction comes in our life, it literally sucks the joy or the moisture of our spirit and of our thanksgiving. We find ourselves really and truthfully in a very, very negative place. If you came in here tonight with negativity, if you came in here tonight with an attitude and an aggressiveness toward everyone and an unsettledness in your rest out of the cause of affliction, then the last thing in the world you feel like doing is being thankful. If you've ever had that experience, would you say amen? Because I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that somebody else are out there. David's given us a secret on how to survive this. And I hope you take a pen and I hope you underline some things. David says in verse number 12, I know that, say those two words, the Lord. In the midst of this affliction, when it seems like he's being targeted with evil and it seems at a warfare to him, and when all of the circumstances around him say that he's in trouble, that he's going to be overthrown, David stops and he finds footing in a place that every believer is going to have to find footing. And David finds footing in the day of affliction with what he knows about the Lord. Not what he knows about Christianity, not what he knows about church life, not what he knows about church discipline, not what he knows about behavior. David says, when I got to that day of affliction that was consuming to me, I really had to find my footing in what I knew about the Lord himself. I find that many Christians know the Lord as a Savior, but they don't know him as a person or in the moments of their life. They don't develop that type of relationship. And so David comes to the point where he had to find footing. And so he begins with what he knows. Now we know this about the Lord. He never changes. It's funny how if I think about my life and I think about maybe the moments that I have been afflicted, I see different faces or different circumstances in that affliction. It seems like I get over one affliction and another affliction finds me. And the afflictions are different in their approach per se. They may be different in their makeup, but it still is affliction. And I find that I live in an ever-changing world. My moods change. My feelings change. My circumstances change. It's always a changing thing there. And it's hard to find footing, especially when you're under affliction that has sucked from you the ability to rejoice and thank God. So there's got to be some stable ground. His name is Jesus. And the believer Sometimes when you don't understand the affliction and you don't understand the circumstances and everything is communicating to you negative and communicating to you one thing, you've got to be able to go back and lean on what you know about the Lord. And you've got to be able to know him, A, that he does not change, know him in his character, know him in all of his qualities, and sometimes you just flat got to trust that you know the Lord. For example, the Lord is good. He's kind. He's merciful. He loves me. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And so David finds himself in tremendous affliction, and he says, I got to the point where I know that the Lord. So many times when we get struck with panic or difficulty, we forget what we know. Tremendous illustration. Sophia's mom, Vicky, is a nurse. A great nurse. When those two cars collided on that road right up here at the stop sign, and her foot was destroyed, dangling off of her leg, and her 4-year-old is completely non-responsive and just looks in bad shape. She, first thing she did is she began to give CPR. With a broken foot, she crawled to her daughter and began to give CPR. Here's the problem. The baby was breathing and it had a pulse. You don't give CPR to breathing people. A nurse ought to know that. Now, this is not negative. This is an illustration. We talked about this in the hospital today. You're trained to know that as a nurse. You're trained to know that in CPR class. But when your whole world is rocked and you think your daughter is dying, sometimes you tend to forget what you know, right? And you do more harm than good. So my neighbor, who's a Broward sheriff's deputy, retired, was on the scene, literally had to pull Vicky and say, no, we can't do this, right? As Christians, when our world gets rocked with affliction, sometimes we just forget what we know. And we panic. And literally we try to give CPR to breathing things. It's just a natural recourse in the flesh to try to, but we forget what we know about God. And then we try to take things into our own hands and we do more harm than we do good. There are no greater hands than God's hands. So here's what David said. I got this guy, man, he's evil. And I feel like I'm going down. Where I found my footing was, I began to go back to what I know about the Lord. Now watch the primary thing where he went to in verse number 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. David said, the first thing I knew about God was he loved me, he knows me, he will never leave me, he will never forsake me, and I know that he knows about my problem. And I know that the Lord will maintain my cause. Now, if you've ever had to maintain something, what does it mean to maintain? My mother-in-law is here. My mother-in-law was born with a green thumb. The Beverly that came from her womb was born with a black thumb. It will tell you this herself, so don't feel sorry for Beverly and don't try to protect me. I'm telling you the truth, right? So if you bring us a flower to maintain, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, right? So when you receive something to maintain, you receive it in a condition. If you're going to maintain it, you're going to either maintain it to that condition or you're going to maintain it to a better condition. To maintain something means you're cognitive about it. You're with it. You're watching it. You're nourishing it. You're caring for it. You're thinking for its good. You're maneuvering things for its good. You're burdened about it. The last thing you want to do is hand it back unmaintained. And David said, I know that's how God does me. He maintains my causes. He maintains my life. He's concentrated on me. He's working on me. He's moving. He's doing these things. I am not alone. I am not outside just because I have a problem. I am not outside of the maintaining hand of God. By the way, God's not afraid of affliction. He will use affliction in our lives. So David said, I know in my day of affliction the Lord. I know about the Lord. That he's going to maintain my cause. Now watch. Because of that, maintaining and that understanding of the Lord and his maintenance in David's life and his working in David's life, verse number 13 begins with the word what? Surely. Not well if it works out. Not maybe. David said this. I'm in a day of affliction, but I know that the Lord's going to maintain my cause, and I know that he's going to do the proper thing for the poor, and surely I am going, the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. So David has in his mind the understanding already that God's going to bring him through this. David already has the understanding that God is maintaining this situation. David does not know how he's going to get through it. But he does know he's going to get through it. Many times in our Christian life, in the day of affliction, I don't necessarily know how I'm going to get through it. But I just know that he promised he's going to walk me through it. I don't know what he's going to use. I definitely don't want to take the control into my life because God's going to maintain this thing. The last thing I want to do is try to maintain it. I need you to maintain me, God, through this because I know, God, if you maintain me through this, then surely I'm going to get to the place where I'm going to be able to say to give you thanks. And by the way, it's the righteous that will give thanks. It's just not being born again. That's those that are obedient to the Lord. That's those that are honoring the Lord and trusting the Lord. If you want to practice unrighteousness in the day of affliction, then you're never going to give thanks. By the way, let me say this. Affliction is no excuse for you to be unrighteous. Affliction doesn't give you the opportunity to go against God's word. It doesn't give you permission to be without faith. It doesn't give you permission to complain and murmur. It doesn't give us permission to let bitterness come in. It doesn't give me permission to just go and let the flesh take over. God uses affliction in my life, and I don't like it. You don't like it, but it's not an excuse. And so my responsibility is I'm to maintain a position of obedience and following the Lord. And I know as I maintain that, He's going to maintain my cause. And I promise you, when you get all the way through it, all things do work together for good. Well, Pastor, what do I do then from the day of affliction to the day of praise? Go, if you would, please, to verse number 6. I'm almost done. And would you just read the first 5 words out loud? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I said unto the Lord. That's prayer. Thou art my God. Hallelujah. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. What's David saying? Here's what David's saying. I'm in the day of affliction. I understand that. And I understand my circumstances are pointing to anything except success. But I know the Lord. I know who he is, and I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm going to remember who my God is. I'm not going to look at my problem. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to take my eyes and put them on myself. I'm not going to take it into my own hands. I'm going to stabilize myself by knowing and resting on what I know about the Lord. Here's what I know about the Lord. He's going to maintain my cause. He's going to walk me through this. He's not going to leave me. And I know that he, when I get to the end of this, I'm going to be able to look back and I'm going to be able to say, thank you, God, for that day of affliction. Thank you for maintaining me. Thank you for being my great God. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you for being all of these things. And so David got himself into that position, and then David was able to pray. Here's what I want to say, and I want to say it very carefully, and I'm done. You know you're handling affliction wrong if you're not able to pray in the midst of affliction. If the affliction is so consuming that I can't even concentrate in prayer, I may understand that out of the gate, but to sustain, that's not sustainable in the believer's position. I got to look at that affliction, and I got to understand, and I got to find myself on my knees, and I got to remember who my God is. I got to remember about my Lord, and I've got to remember he's maintaining my cause. I've got to go to him in prayer. I've got to trust him, and if I will trust him, then I know surely when I get through this thing, and even in the midst of it, I'm going to be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you're here tonight and the last thing you want to do is be thankful right now, spend some time with your Lord. Let him encourage you. Learn about him. Rest in him. Understand he knows your cause. He'll maintain that. He'll bring you to the point of that. Amen? All right, let's go home.